It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, welcome. Welcome. Welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that's designed with you in mind, and a show packed with all things kingdom, all things purpose, all things my co-host Nels and KJ. And today we're having a wonderful guest, and I'll tell you all about her in just a second. Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, how's everybody doing? It's another Wednesday.
Absolutely. Happy hump day. Now, coming up on the show, we're going to talk about trending topics, and we got some that are really poignant for today's show. And a little bit later on, we're going to have a special guest who is doing it in the marketplace and truly helping her audience live a positive life and to kind of get out of the muck and mire. And of course, we're going to have our own Niles bringing us the principle for the day, which is purpose, passion, and pain. So you're not going to want to miss any of the show. And I'll turn it over to none other than Niles. Take it away, guy.
All right. Purpose, passion, and process, or however you want to put the piece all together. However, I'm going to break each one down and tie them together. Pain is a part of the process. There are things that you must go through that will shape and fortify you for the journey. It's almost similar, I would say, to like coming of age. You can't escape it. There's not one person on this earth or that we've known prior to us who has been able to escape pain. Process gets you to the other side. I get it. Discomfort is not an enjoyable experience. It's not. But it's important to grow through what you go through. Was there any person in the Bible who has a pain, who had painless process when it came to their maturation, their growth? I can't think of any. You know, Joseph, Moses, David, and the list goes on. None of them were able to escape pain. You have to keep on building. And when you feel like you can't do anymore, and when you're doubting and want to just drop out of the game, communicate with God for clarity regarding the process. They all work together. He never said that you won't experience pain. However, you know, he's there when you do experience pain. And he's also there at all times. When he's on your squad, he always delivers. Passion is connected to your gift. It's the thing that God gives you to get through the peaks and valleys. You know, we hear passion so much, but I would like to approach it from, I guess, a deeper perspective. I mean, when I think of passion, I think of a yearning. I think of something that's soulful. I think of something that's intrinsic. I think it's something that truly connects you to your gift. When you want something bad enough and for the right reasons, and I repeat, for the right reasons, that's when passion kicks in. It helps you to persevere. If you think about it, I thought about like the title, The Passion of Christ. Most of us have heard about that movie. Why is it called that? Jesus had a passion for God's purpose for his life, a yearning, a commitment. You know, without that passion, without that reason, would he have gotten through it? It would have been extremely difficult. And just to understand how badly the man was beaten and bruised, mocked and betrayed, you know, that's extremely hard to get through. But what led him through the process, you know, of dying for our sins and finishing his assignment was the knowing the purpose and knowing that, you know, the passion was there for the fuel, his will for God, you know, a strong love and will for God, and in which he would, you know, lead him through the painful and humiliating process. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, there's really no way around it. Pain is a part of the process. At some point, you will experience it. It's like building a muscle. You know, training to build muscle isn't pretty. But when you look at the results, you understand, you know, what all the training was for, what the pain was for and all that. Because I don't think most people probably don't enjoy, you know, training. you know, through those slight tears, muscle forms. So in this case, your spiritual muscles are being strengthened. You know, your will for God is being strengthened. You are being strengthened. You are being provided with gems that will get you through the process in order to achieve your purpose. So once again, they all work together. Purpose, passion, process, you know, the three P's. God is taking us through all those at all times. So what do you guys think, KJ and Tanji?
First, I got to say thank you. You want to start, KJ, or you want me to start? I'll start. Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Niles, because you really are a demonstration of what you're teaching, purpose. You're leaving everything corporate America to come to what we call out here the land of milk and honey. And the passion is what really fuels you. You had that yearning for leaving the familiar, going into that. Oh my God. I don't even want to tell you business, but just some of what you've allowed us to see has truly been a maturing, a perfection only God could do. So I am really grateful for that lesson, not only didactically, but the lesson that you're allowing us to see also. When I think about my own life, I said to someone the other day that I am so grateful to God for everything. And they said, everything, even that? I said, yeah, even that. And the reason is because one, there's a promise that says when we love him and we are called unto his purpose, that he works everything. He's already done it, right? And then the second thing is I get to get up every morning, guys, and I'm not saying this for boasting or bragging. And for those who know me, those who are listening know that when I wake up every morning and I literally get to do what I want to do. Now, the difference is I don't do what I have to because I am so driven by my purpose and by his will for my life that it's not even a chore when I have a couple of hiccups, you know? So again, the pain is so worth it. I think about the, and I've said this, you know, my story, the repossessions, the going broke, the losing home, that, you know, my home to foreclosure or being kicked out of my apartment, you know, it's just, it was painful, but now I understand. I don't understand all of it, but in part, that has allowed me to get here, and I'm a better person for it. So thank you, sir, for that particular principle that we all can glean from.
Yeah. You know, pain is uncomfortable. Pain is temporary, you know. There was this one, I was up late one night just on social media, and there was this one guy who said that, pain is only temporary. Your content's going to live forever. And I thought that was really interesting. In his context, he was just saying like, okay, if you're going to get hurt, it's going to be a little bit, but like, it's going to be funny. Like after this whole take is, but it made me think pain only lasts for a short period of time. Of course, there are certain conditions which can be, last for longer than expected, but you fall down on the ground, that pain is going to what max a day or two, you know, we have pain, different painkillers to at least reduce that pain, but to grow and to achieve everything that we have that God has given us to take over and to dominate, we're going to have to break ourselves.
Come on,
you know, decrease our own bodies to increase our spirit, you know. So it's gonna hurt, you know. Right. I always think about investing for the short term. It's going to cost you a lot of money, of course,
for sure.
But in the long term, you're saying I can chill when I'm 35, I can chill when I'm 40, I can chill when I'm 50, while everybody else is still working towards working towards that pension, working towards that retirement. It's going to hurt. You may be eating like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for a while. Maybe eating Kraft mac and cheese. But at the end of the day, that lobster, when you hit 32, it's going to be fire.
Absolutely.
You know? So you have to rework your mind and say, okay, me sacrificing this right now, me sacrificing playing video games. I like video games. So me sacrificing playing video games for 1 hour and replacing that with 1 hour of learning. Hmm. I will reap those benefits with that 1 hour of learning versus playing that 1 hour of video games, depending on what my purpose is. Because now we got competitive video games.
For
now.
Sure.
But, but yeah, always think about long-term versus short-term. Yeah. When you approach life and your own and different situations with that mindset, it becomes a lot clearer about, okay, what's more valuable now? I'm not saying not to live, but what kind of pain are you willing to take? Pain now or pain later?
Wouldn't you agree though, KJ, that really does take what we call a discipline? Who wants to run in the face of pain? Who wants to run to it? You know, we've been programmed that every time we feel pain or something causes us, we run from it, right?
Yeah, well, I would say this. Let's not use discipline. Let's use lifestyle. No one wants to be disciplined. You know, no one wants to be in a place where they're like, okay, this is habitual. You know, when it's a lifestyle, you brush your teeth every morning, right? I hope so.
For sure.
You know,
sometimes.
Okay, no. Don't. All right. but brushing your teeth is a lifestyle. Eating is a lifestyle. So if you make running towards pain a lifestyle, or running towards that adversity a lifestyle, it just becomes innate inside of you, instead of you have to discipline yourself, you have to wake up every morning, because no one wants the same thing over and over and over again. But when it's a lifestyle, it's just part of me. Like our relationship with God.
Okay.
It's a lifestyle, right? I mean,
For sure.
Yes. We talk to him every day. Yep. We talk to him like, oh, I tripped. It could have been something else. Could have busted my shit. Thank you. Like, we have different conversations. It's part of us.
Right.
It doesn't leave. Because sometimes when you're disciplined, you don't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. But when you're living that life, it's a whole different perspective.
For sure. Like, when you're living that... Like when you're living that lifestyle, your decisions and your choices will serve that lifestyle. So, yeah, that's spot on, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
So you're saying, is it safe to say for someone who is watching the show for the very first time and you've come across another person talking about kingdom, but this particular time it's not in a religious fashion, it is in a governmental fashion, it is in a responsibility that you have to show forth your gifts in the earth and do what you're supposed to do. So you're telling me that to have a lifestyle where it is a mind shift, that I am not to discipline myself, I'm to just kind of live the lifestyle without discipline?
Well, I'll say this. We talked about this morning. We're going back to one of the sermons that I've watched with Stephen Furtick, and he introduced a neurologist, Caroline Leaf. He was trying to how is God and science related? And I thought this was super interesting.
For sure. You know?
When we pray for other people and we're hoping that God will miraculously change our behavior, but no, we have to be part of the work, you know? So she was saying that to make a habit a lifestyle, there is a, she was saying a scientific process that goes through that we must be part of, as well as praying at the same time. She was saying that it takes 21 days to make or break a habit, but it takes about 60 to 90 days to make that habit into a lifestyle. So, yes, discipline is important. but we need to be mindful and cognizant of like, okay, there's another step towards discipline, because I don't want to wake up every morning to work out.
Right.
We have to come from a point where we just want to do it. It's just part of me. It's like, no, I can't live without it. I cannot live without God. I cannot live without food. I can't live without brushing my teeth or I get a cavity.
Right.
Make that habit and make whatever you're disciplining yourself to do a lifestyle, so it never leaves you.
Thank you, sir. Sure. Well said. I'm sorry I put you in that.
Sorry. It was a good question. It was a good question. Oh, I was sure. Like, okay, cool.
As I was listening to KJ, I was just thinking, of course, like, you know, mindset influences actions and so on. I think that's also like why it's so important to make good choices and good decisions, because your decisions and your choices will yield certain results. I mean, you know, what we put in, we get out. Of course, you know, life happens and so on. But, you know, if you make certain decisions and the results aren't favorable, then you kind of have to step back and reevaluate and focus on, once again, the core. Like, where am I positioned? Am I actually centered in God? Am I centered in the right things? You know, so, yeah, man, this is just a heavy conversation. Because choice, making good choices and decisions, man, it's not an easy thing to do.
Absolutely. Which brings me into the decision for you to watch this show. We're here every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we're doing it. Yes, we love what we do. Yes, we have a passion for it. Yes, discipline is there. But if you really peel back the why, those layers of the why, it's because the quickest way that we can experience life on top and how we imagine life to be, it's helping you get to where you are, where you're supposed to be. It literally is a show designed to move you from where you are to where you want to be. And we've been doing it now for how many years, guys? Almost 3. Is that right?
I hopped on 2 years ago.
Almost 3. I hopped on
2 years ago. So you hopped on 3.
With that said, the number for engagement is 323-203-0815. Again, that number, 323-203-0815. And if you missed your girl Mondays on the Talk to Tanji, I was there. Where were you? I was there at 7:31, man. Laughing and waiting on you, ready for you to be inspired and motivated, not by me, but by him. I'm merely the vessel, all right? And I want to personally thank our new sponsors for the month of April, none other than CAD Canna Publishing. Now, let me tell you about this particular publishing house. Everybody has a story to tell, right? We'll all agree that we all have a story. And one of the things that I really implored my own children were to write those stories, make them tangible. One, it helps to create what's called intellectual property that lasts for like 150 years, and you'll get that money on a continuum. And then two, we need to know your message. We need to know what you've gone through and help us overcome some of the pitfalls of maybe making a decision that wasn't favorable to you. With that said, they've got a wonderful copy editor on staff. And if you are pressing to have that story published, then why don't you consider CAD Canna Publishing? You can send an email to info@kaddkennapublishing.com. That's caddkennapublishing.com. And or Bella. D, that's Bella, D as in doll, at caddkennapublishing.com. She's the copy editor, and she'd love to receive your manuscript or what have you. You do sign off on an NDA. There's nothing to concern yourself as far as your idea being stolen. We don't do it there. And you can reach them at 470-534-2216. Again, that number, 470-534-2216. 334-2216. Give him a call. Tell him Dr. Tanji sent you. All right. I've done my housekeeping. Oh, don't forget. My shameless plug. You guys have responded so favorably to this book. It is truly humbling, and I say that with all intents and purposes. Thank you so very much for trusting me for 7 days with you, your life. I do not make promises. I only make guarantees. I have done everything in this book. I kid you not, and I'm seeing the fruit, and it's pain, it's purpose, and it does help you get from where you are to where you want to be. All right, I'm done.
I'm sorry. I love that. I love that quote. I don't make promises. I make guarantees. But since we're talking about purpose and passion, you know, Easter was this weekend. You know, happy Easter, belated Easter to everybody. I just want to ask around. What you guys do this Easter? You know, I know for me, I hung out with my family. We had Faithful Central Bible Church.
I love Bishop Palmer.
I love him. But like, what did you guys do for this Easter?
I'm so embarrassed, man. I stayed in my PJs until about 5 o'clock, and I had my co-branding manager send a pretty text and say, "Will you please send us some pictures?" So I sat there. I was very grateful for that time to do absolutely nothing but mindful thinking. And then later that evening, I got with the kids and they came over. And of course, the grandbabies just make it all, you know. So they wanted to know, who is this Jesus? They've been praying to him since they've been a little person, but we had an opportunity to kind of dispel some of those myths. No, he was not a religious person, but he was and is. Ellipse, ellipse, ellipse. So they got it. And Niles, what did you do? What did you do for Resurrection Sunday?
Well, you know where I was. So. Yeah, I was in the hospital on Easter, but I did a lot of work, reading, writing. Like, when you're in the hospital for a prolonged period of time, you find ways to keep yourself busy and keep your mind active and so on. So I did work, and I did everything that I could in the space.
How about that? Can I just say this? Not to put you on blast, but that is what I meant when you started with the principle. That's what I meant right there. You're a demonstration of it, man. So thank you. Thank you so very much.
You know, thank you. That now is being in the hospital. Let's give our prayers out.
Absolutely.
That will be disclosed on a later date when now it feels comfortable sharing.
Thank you very much, sir.
But speaking about hospital and also prayers, DMX is also in the hospital as well. So we want to give our prayers out to him and his family. Demi Lovato did comment on his condition because she went through a similar situation through of overdose a year or two ago, because she could have been in the exact same position where he is in a coma. And today they're doing some brain tests to ensure that today's a vital day for with his condition. So we want to send out our prayers to him and his family, and pray for a speedy recovery and no long-term issues after this. But we do have some good news coming to California and the U.S. We'll start with Texas. You know, 100% capacity at the Texas Rangers game, from baseball game. I was like, wait, what? that was crazy. So now, well, what I'm just trying to say is that things are beginning to reopen now as cases are starting to decline, especially in California being one of the highest cases this past year. We're now one of the lowest. So theaters are opening back up. Restaurants are opening back up. Traffic is coming back. You know, can we just hold off on the traffic to all my Californians, please? Because that's something we just don't want to see anymore. But we have a plan to fully reopen in June 15th. The Biden administration says that everybody should be eligible by April 19th to receive their COVID vaccine, which is 2 weeks, which is 2 weeks away. Mm-hmm. So as of right now, if you're 16 plus, you're available to get the vaccine as of now. Soon everybody else would be able to get it. But this past weekend was March Madness. The Final Four was this weekend, UCLA versus Gonzaga. You had two Texas teams going at each other with Baylor and Texas Tech. No, it wasn't Texas Tech. I'm sorry. If I, you lost. I'm sorry.
Gonzaga. Gonzaga.
No, no, no. Gonzaga. No, it was Final Four. It was Gonzaga, UCLA, Baylor.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Gonzaga. Well, Gonzaga. Well, since we're talking about Gonzaga, Gonzaga won with Jalen Suggs' shot over UCLA this past Saturday. So that shot will go down in history.
Absolutely.
They had the chance to be undefeated since the 80s. Baylor came in and just smacked them across the head. So here we are. Congratulations, Baylor. You guys are national champions with your great hard work and defense. It was a game for the ages on the Gonzaga and UCLA games. Baylor, Gonzaga, not so much. But other than that, I'm bouncing it back to you, Dr. T, because we have guests coming up soon.
Absolutely, man. And I'm really, really excited about our guest that's about to come up. I do want to make certain that you join us on all social media platforms at Dr. Tanji Show. That's Facebook and Instagram. On YouTube, on Fridays, we have an uploading at 6 o'clock for all of our past shows. This Friday should be Stand Long, right? Yeah, Stand Long. I would be on there on Friday. And that's at 6 o'clock p.m. And of course, Tad Kenna, we want to thank you so very much for trusting us with your brand. For anyone who's looking to get that manuscript or get that script or get that novella or novel published, give them a call at 470-534-2216. Or you can email Bella, the copy editor, at Bella, B-E-L-L-A-D, at CadKennaPublishing.com or info at CadKennaPublishing.com. Whew. All right. Oh, my shameless plug. Yep. If you're looking at it, it's on Amazon. Okay. All right. Very good. Now, I'm excited, but I'm inquisitive to hear how a woman, Miss Jane Barash, can do what she do so well and help so many people realize self-discovery. She is a woman who has had an opportunity to share her gifts and her talents and skill sets with Fortune 100 executives. But reading her bio, guys, I'll discuss it when she comes on, because this question that I want to ask her is still mind-blowing, even looking at it now. So without further ado, let's welcome Miss Jane Barash to the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hello. So can you hear me?
Yes, we can
hear you. Yes, we can hear you.
Great. Yes. How are you?
And just for the, I'm great. It's Barash, just for the record.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No problem.
It's not, because mine is Tanji, and I get Tangi, I get Tammy. So names are very important to me here, lady. Please know that.
Great. Okay.
So, now, I want to ask you this, right? And I don't want to hog up the time, but I gotta ask, you started skating at what age? It is so mind-blowing to know that. I've got other questions, but that one right there.
Well, a lot of people start skating young. So I started young, and when I was six, and I quit when I was 13, but I was very good. I was already competing. I was landing. I don't know if you know the skating world, but double
a little
axe.
Bit.
Like, you know, 2.5 times in the air, landing backwards on one foot. And then it was either make skating your whole life and train 7 days a week, 10 hours, or be a normal high school kid. So I quit skating to be a normal high school kid. Okay. And but then 36 years later, picked up skating again.
I love it.
At 54, I became a world champion. And 62, I got my third Minnesota State Championship against skaters who were 30 years younger. So that's my little skating thing.
Honey, if you can see the goosebumps here. So I've got to ask you the proverbial question that we ask all of our beautiful guests that come to the show. How did you get here? And I know it's a summation of so much, right?
But, well, and I, you know, I read and you like people's journeys. And I think that's a fascinating way to go about this because you hear oftentimes what people are doing now. And I think there's so, it's so interesting, the route and the unexpected and the expected things that happened along the way. So I did kind of prepare to kind of do the journey and you can interrupt at any time.
No.
I don't know what will be relevant or interesting, but I'm, you know, kind of, in my mind, kind of the data points. But I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I'm Jewish. And just for the record, this, you know, South Shore in Chicago is like many neighborhoods around the country that used to be Jewish. And there were certain neighborhoods that would only sell to Jews. Mm-hmm. And those were the neighborhoods that once the Jews were moving out and got mobility, those were the only neighborhoods that would sell to Blacks. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm in Minneapolis, and my neighborhood, South Shore in Chicago, is one of the high crime, violence, poverty rate neighborhoods. And I've actually gone down there to teach my program. Black United Fund, you know, brought me in for a pilot. And I now am in North Minneapolis, which is the same kind of neighborhood. Used to be okay. Jewish, and then it changed over the years. So I think every major city has those neighborhoods. And part of what I'm trying to do is get Jews reconnected to those neighborhoods that they love very much, but have pulled back from. It's like, you don't have to move back, but let's connect. I think Jews and Blacks have quite a history.
Absolutely.
And if they would join forces, I think it could be quite remarkable.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I grew up there and a very intellectual family and four older brothers. And so I wasn't allowed to play with dolls. We played games like Brick Wall, where everybody lined up in a wall and the person like me had to try to run through, or mall ball. You throw up a ball, whoever catches it gets mauled. So
wow.
I kind of early on got training in terms of how to deal with alpha males.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there was the whole skating thing, and maybe that was a little girly thing I could do. But I quit that, went to high school. I went to the University of Chicago. They have a grade school and high school. That's where Obama's kids went to, the laboratory school. So I had a lot of intellectual development. My dad's a doctor. My mother was a math teacher. And, you know, in the work I do, we bring a different view of the brain, the mind, and reality. And what people don't understand enough about the brain is the difference between the two hemispheres and, you know, kind of understanding that in our one brain, we have the brain of reptiles, which is the nervous system. Millions of years later, the animal emotional brain evolved. We have that brain and then the neocortex with the left and right hemisphere and frontal lobe. And I'm kind of diverging from my story of how I got
that's
here.
Right. No, that's all right.
To make the point that people focus, so of the reptilian brain nervous system, nothing's really done to help people regulate that except medication. Okay. Mindfulness scratches the surface. And then let's say you get your nervous system under, you know, control, then there's the whole emotional domain, and a lot of people are very unstable emotionally. And then they expect that the thinking part of your brain is going to work effectively. So if you have people with nervousness and, you know, if you're not breathing right, there are two ways to breathe, in your belly. And if you watch a baby or an animal, they breathe in their belly. That's diaphragmatic breathing. We're designed to breathe that way. But because of stress or cosmetic concern, people suck in their gut and they breathe in their chest. If you breathe in your chest, you're forcing your brain to kick out chemicals that have to do with stress and anxiety or adrenaline and cortisol, impossible to concentrate. So what part of what we've done is teach people how to regulate their nervous system through their breathing and then through focusing. Nobody's really doing that. Instead, you got problems settling down or concentrating. Again, we'll get you on medications.
For sure.
So we try to kind of get that nervous system in order and then deal with the emotional brain. And, you know, we share the brain with animals and we go, oh, you behave like an animal, like it's a terrible thing. You're horrible. Well, animals really have majestic emotions, love and gratitude and compassion and the desire to protect others who aren't even of their species.
I think, let me just kind of interject, and I'm glad you said that because I believe and I ascribe to the thought that we truly are created in his image. We're made in his image. And the thing that I love, and I love what you're saying, I do, honestly, I do. I want to make certain that people understand that the difference, and you help me with this, please, in the simplistic way here, the difference between us and animals is that we have a spirit and a soul, and we are created after his likeness and image, should you ascribe to the principles of the kingdom that we teach here. If you do not, that's fine, right? But to make it where I like the fact that you have created a conceptual, we can touch it, it's tangible, it's a model, we can replicate it, that people will not just say, I've prayed about it and left it alone. You make people responsible, you do, your curriculum makes them responsible for getting the knowledge so that you can make those differential decisions. And I love that about what I've read about you.
Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. And I would say, if you watch the YouTubes of animals, I mean, they're you know, it's hard for me to think that these animals who have so much love and devotion and are willing to give up their lives to save a human, to save another animal, like to say that they don't have a spirit or a soul. That's hard for me.
See, I see what you're saying, because we have lost that camaraderie of humans.
I think we can gain a lot of spiritual awareness from animals because of how they behave.
Right.
They're so loving. They're so forgiving.
They are.
They're so compassionate.
Absolutely.
And we have that, but it's conditioned out of us. We're like, no, you don't look like me. You don't sound like me. Why should I put myself on your behalf?
Right.
We don't have a lot of gratitude. We don't have a lot of compassion. We don't. So we can learn a lot from animals.
That's true.
My work. And even animals, that neocortex with the left and right hemisphere and the frontal, and there's more to it. Animals actually have some of that, just like reptiles have some of the emotional brain. It is amazing that lizards, bearded dragons, you name it, they can form emotional connections. And again, YouTube is an amazing source of information that academia can learn from.
Okay.
And you see these women who have trained a bearded dragon to come when they call, to sleep with them, to pay attention to them. I would be happy to send you. We've been collecting so many links to YouTubes of these animals that it's just like crazy. But what makes us different is that frontal lobe. So animals make decisions. We see them, and their YouTubes of, they know when somebody's watching and they won't do something.
Yeah.
If isn't watching, they will. But what we have with our frontal lobe, and we call it executive function generally, that's, I think, a misnomer.
Okay.
It's about assigning meaning. And we've been conditioned to believe through science and just whatever that it's an accidental random universe. Mm-hmm. But meaning, and this is what the physicists are saying. So we work with every field of science and Native American, West African, East Indian, Asian, Tibetan, Mayan, and Egyptian cultural teachings that all together really give us a different sense of kind of, who we are. But the meaning that when you talked about earlier, making decisions, and people don't realize that that act of choosing what you're going to put your attention on and what it means to you is truly the vehicle through which we can manifest reality. And most people have given that up. It's like we think that everything has a meaning attached and we just have to accept it. And part of the success, a big part I've had working with the bottom 3% of emotionally behaviorally disordered kids, or residents in the worst slum of Rio, or on Indian reservations, or corporations, what have you, is when they understand, wait a minute, whatever happened, whatever the physical description is, what it means is up to me.
So, I love it. I absolutely
love
that.
A guy born with half arms and half legs, and you go, oh, that means your life is a mess. It's over. Right. Why even bother? And Tim is like, no, wait a minute. To me, it means I have an option to inspire millions of people on a daily basis.
I love it.
He wanted to be a state wrestling champion against able-bodied wrestlers. And most people go, the reality is you can't do that. He did it.
I love
it. So part of what, we have as humans is that ability to say, I get to decide what I want something to mean.
I love
that. And a lot flows from that. And most people don't think they have that choice. They think they just have to accept the meaning that comes with every circumstance that happens to them.
For sure.
For sure. Jane, I have a quick question, Jane.
Sure.
How can we build our intellect? Because I tell people this all the time. You know, nowadays, we're really pressed when it comes to formal education, and you have to get this degree and so on. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're actually, like, training your brain and your intellect.
Well,
you know, rhetoric and just regurgitating information is a little different than taking that information and being able to apply it to your life. And that's why a lot of people have issues, especially with my generation, you know, where we're just we're getting degrees, but then we have to start, or I guess in general, like, how do you apply that? Because, like, we come out of college really trying to, like, starting from scratch, you know? And I'm like, are they building the intellect? Are they building those areas that pertain to life? Yeah.
And they don't. I mean, it's a very artificial, contrived, you know, set of facts you learn. And there's a big difference.
Yeah.
You confused intellect with the whole of intelligence. Intellect is just a narrow strand, which is very left hemisphere. The left is math, science, verbal skills. It's logic. It's focused on separate parts and pieces and analysis. It's very verbal. The right sees connections. Mm-hmm. I grew up with Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the others. Why don't you start teaching people to look and find the connections? So we wonder why there's so much division when we've been conditioned to separate, label. The minute you use words, you're calling it this, which means it's not that. So all of a sudden you're separating. Mm. And, you know, we kind of have, in those areas of the brain, the nervous system, the animal emotional brain, the left and right hemisphere and frontal lobe, all education focuses on the left hemisphere. That's all, math, science, and verbal skills. And then, as you pointed out, you're just memorizing and regurgitating. You're not really using the creative aspect.
Einstein's left and right. Yep.
And we are, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, I was pointing at him. When you said that, he lifted back because we have had these discussions forever. his time at Pepperdine and how important that is and the legacy that he's getting to kind of build upon. But anyway, Jane, forgive me.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm all about the left brain, you know, but that's a lot of real estate to waste. If you have a whole hemisphere that we have,
exactly.
Not important.
Absolutely.
So the left focuses on the out there. The right's about introspection, intuition, you know, again, mm-hmm. seeing connections. It's about transcendent thinking. The left is about being in the box and managing logistics. And people are struggling because they're stuck in the box. And we know on some deep level there's more. There's no physicist that will tell you there are only three dimensions. And wouldn't it make sense that we're wired to navigate other non-material dimensions? But no, that's poo-pooed. There is nothing more. And so it's a wasted part of your brain. Don't imagination is kid stuff. Intuition is women's intuition. I grew up, it was like curiosity killed the cat. That's sick.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So on some level, we've been conditioning people to think intelligence is just intellect. And, you know, 5,000 kids a day drop out of school. And of those that remain, 13% get sent to special ed. And of those that, millions are on medication. Who can call that an effective system? But we're doubling down on everything education has been doing.
I am so happy.
You know, but it's not popular because you're then saying to all these people whose career is built on a left brain intellectual model.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Story. No, nobody wants to hear that.
Wow.
So it's been... Yeah. It's challenging, but we have more and more spokespeople. And, you know, I was mentioning North Minneapolis. George Floyd was murdered in South Minneapolis. Usually it's North Minneapolis that gets all the bad press and has all the, you know, problems that everybody's talking about. I've been working there off and on since 1991. And I have, for whatever reason, fallen into, not exclusively, but in large part working with young Black men. Okay. And I have now graduates who are in their 40s. Who went through the program 25 years ago or 30 years ago, and it has changed their lives. And they're saying, this is what's missing in education. And I am so impressed. I mean, I think people of color have such natural kind of talent and creativity and depth and richness, and they resonate more with this kind of information. White people tend to be more left brain and intellectual, and so they get more challenged by what I'm trying to say. But they recognize, you know, also the benefits. But I now have spokespeople who can speak to, and in the bio you read, it talks about North Minneapolis, I was brought to a school that had a 35% graduation rate.
Right.
The city had been trying to shut down. And I was brought in to work with a basketball team, the boys' basketball team, that was last place in the city. An all-black school, all-black team, last place in the city. Hmm. So we have a curriculum, and it ties together, again, all these different fields of science and these different cultures that are coming together. You got to look hard, and we've saved people the searching because we pull it all together.
For sure.
To really understand, again, a different view of the mind, the brain, and reality. And
Go ahead.
I was going to say the team in the first season of working together went from worst to first, and by year three, they were state champions with a 95% graduation rate.
Wow.
Of course, I didn't get any credit. I worked for free behind the scenes, and it's really a shame in that respect. But you know,
absolutely, absolutely,
kind of how some of those things go. But
have you ever had a situation where it looked to be dire? Okay, you accepted. I won't say the challenge. I'll say you accepted the opportunity. Has there ever been a time when it was a point where, you know what, I don't think this model is going to work for you? Is that ever a situation?
Nobody's ever said that to me. And I will say I work with across race and religion, across age and demographics. And one of the things I like about this program is it is kind of unifying and is a common denominator. Whatever, wherever else somebody wants to go with the information, this kind of can reach most people. And because I work with so many kinds of people, it wouldn't be my place to impose anything other than the science and cultural information. Mm-hmm. But what I can say is that we make it clear that there are non-material dimensions to reality.
Wow.
And so people who are religious, they like hearing that because they like scientists who want to say, no, everything's got to be physical, measurable, and publicly observable to be real.
Right.
It's like, no, there's absolutely more there. And I can free of political or religious or, you know, cultural superimposition, I can say there is also, I mean, our word is consciousness. Our work is consciousness research. Okay. And there is natives, you know, indigenous people have been talking about consciousness in all of life.
Forever. Yeah, forever. Absolutely.
Could you define consciousness? I know you hear that word all the time, but what does it really mean?
So my definition of consciousness is a self-organizing creative intelligence that interconnects the universe across time and space and comes from beyond space-time. And I have science that can back up every word that I just said. And it's this consciousness is paradoxical. It's individual and interconnected. It's temporal and it's eternal. It is in one location and everywhere at the same time. So it doesn't make logical sense. And the left brain wants things to line up logically, but that, you know, life is filled with paradox. Mm. So it makes the logical sense that you can be temporal and infinite.
When I tell people that, I'm so glad to hear someone say that. I tell people that because of who he is, and we are direct descendants from him, we have the ability to control our environment, right? We have the ability to get into our purpose and our gifting and serve people with your gifts. And that's what you're doing, Jane. You're serving people with your gifts, okay? And then you've been able to make disciples of those people, of those persons, to carry your mission forward, to carry your values forward and your love for people who may be disenfranchised.
And there are a lot of people disenfranchised.
We're
wired for this interconnectedness, and we have been conditioned to focus on separation, and the alienation is a huge problem when people really can relate to an experience and act from a different model where they do feel connected. I mean, I worked with someone whose mother abandoned him and he was left to take care of his younger brother and sister and just like was overwhelmed. But because of this curriculum, he was on Oprah as a remarkable teen. He accomplished some amazing things. And I said, well, how does all this make you feel? And he said, it makes me feel like the universe is mine. And this is somebody who'd been abandoned. And
wow.
The goal to make people feel like, you know what, I am in an intimate connection. And you can use the word God or, you know, creator or the great spirit. Again, I work with so many people. I'm just trying to find a framework and language that everybody can relate to honor that there's more here than just the three physical dimensions. That could be like a trap. And the ancients and modern scientists say, don't get caught up in the illusion.
My husband says it all the time.
Of matter. And, you know, our eyes see only a little bit of the light spectrum, and we call that reality. So part of it is, how do you expand so you can access more of the light spectrum and create dreams, not drama? Everybody's creating drama. And if you just turn it a little bit, it's maybe.
Interesting conversations. And aside from that, it's great to see that maybe there is more connection when it comes to science and spirituality and God, because for some reason we've been taught to separate. When you think about it, life is science, right? And God provides us with life. So it's interconnected, like you said.
All right. I love the conversations that come on here at the Dr. Tanji Show. The beautiful thing that we all have in common is that we all were created for a purpose. Get in your purpose. Live the life that you're supposed to be living. And wake up every morning, seriously, with a grateful heart. Jane, thank you so, so very much for stopping by here. Niles, KJ, this is our show, LA Talk Radio. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Roman, absolutely. And Sam, guys, until next time, don't forget Monday, 7-ish. I'm your girl talking all things. Let's live a life for purpose, own purpose. Until next time, I love you to the stars and the moon. Bye.